Father, we thank you again for your kindness. In fact, it's called loving kindness. That word can only be used for the Lord. His loving kindness and his tender mercies. Thank you, Father, that that will never depart from us, and your covenant of peace will never be removed from us, that we may have peace by all means, not as the world gives. In fact, the world can't give any, but the peace of God that passes understanding, let it be in our hearts and our minds. Keep and guard our hearts and minds through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for the entrance of your word. Gives light, brings understanding to our hearts. So let it be and speak to us, O God, as we engage your word this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. Well, praise the Lord. I'm going to get right to it. You know, today's lesson, remove not the ancient landmarks. That's right. Praise God. Well, what does that all mean? Well, let's get to it. You know, the ancient landmarks. We're going to read some Bible scriptures. I'll have a few words from the Lord. And also, we'll read a couple stories or so from the Bible. Right away, we start at Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 28. There's a couple of places in the book of Proverbs where this phrase is used, but I'm just going to read this one out of Proverbs chapter 22, and we're going to read from verse 28. The scripture says we should not remove the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. Remove not the ancient landmarks which thy fathers have set. So we're going to talk about that. You know, there are some things, even according to Jude verse 3, there are some things that had been handed to us through the apostolic fathers. We're supposed to contend for those things. Jude says, when I gave all diligence, you know, initially to write unto you about certain things, was also needful for me, you know, not only the common salvation, which we know about, but to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. In other words, the landmarks which were once set, you know, stay with it. Don't go away from it. Contend for it even, if necessary. If you find that it's being removed, contend and get it back in place. Praise God. Well, we've been trying to do some of that, you know, by getting our minds back to the original Word of God. Get rid of all the myths and mistruths and different things. Let's get back to the Word of God. You know, so let's look at a few things that the scripture has to say about, you know, what are these landmarks? You know, I'm going to talk about that, read to you a couple stories and so forth. Well, Paul put it this way in the book of Ephesians chapter 2. He put it this way in verses 20 to 22. He was talking about the foundation that was set. And it was warning every man to be careful, you know, that they don't, you know, let me just read it to you the way he puts it. He said, look, we are built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom also ye are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. But if you remove the foundation, or if you remove the cornerstone, everything is going to fall apart, you know. So it is important for us to set the foundations, the landmarks, set them right, you know, it is very, very essential. So that's what we're going to be talking about today. And we will look at some of the foundations and see why it is so important for us to make sure they are intact. The book says in Psalms 11 and verse 3, if the foundations be destroyed, then what can the righteous do? You know? So it is important for us to make sure the foundations are not destroyed. It's important for us to make sure the ancient landmarks are in place. Praise God. You know, and we shouldn't go outside the boundaries. You know, when the children of Israel, they had a camp and so forth. You know, God gave Moses commandment. There were certain landmarks also. They had to mark, you know, the borders of the camp, you know, east, three of the tribes on the east, three on the west, three on the south, three on the north. They had to put down some stakes and mark the borders of the camps, you know, and everybody else outside of that were strangers. You know, God has put down some foundations and he has marked the borders. They're called landmarks, you know, and if those foundations be destroyed, well, what are righteous going to do? So we got to make sure everything is in order. First Corinthians, you know, chapter 3, verses 11, you know, Paul brings out, you know, something else in this regard. He says, look, what I have done according to the grace of God that's given to me as a master builder is I have laid the foundation. You know, and then, well, you can come and build on it, but be careful now, you know, make sure that foundation is in place. You cannot lay any other foundation, he says, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is already laid, which is Christ Jesus. And then whatever you build on it will be tried. But that foundation was the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. And then, you know, we got to see how they did their things, you know, go back to the apostolic way, remove not the ancient landmarks, do things the right way. You know, even in the early church, in Acts chapter 2, you know, verses 42 to 47, this is how they started out. You know, they started out everybody paying attention, you know, to the doctrine of the apostles. What was it? You know, it says here in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. I mean, look at all the things they did. You know, and fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common. Now, we got to get back to that. They had all things common, sold their possessions and their goods, and parted them to all that had need. And they continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, and praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church such daily, such as should be saved. Well, the reason the Lord was adding to the church was because of the purity of the word that was out there. And the word of God was growing and multiplying. You know, now, today, unfortunately, we have drifted so far away, you know, from the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. We've added many dogmas and creeds and different things. But we got to get back to the good old way, according to Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 16. And he says, well, you got to check out the good old way, you know. God is not going to change his ways. And people say, oh, you know, and then there's all kinds of new things, new age, new this, new that. That's not going to work. You know, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths. Seek out the ancient landmarks. Where is the good way? And walk therein, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. You know, don't say, oh, we're going to do, you know, all of that was old stuff. We're going to do things a new way. God say, look, you better check out, you know, you're going to do things the new way. God say, you better check out the old ways. That's right. The old paths, the ancient landmarks, you know, that their fathers have set. Be careful now. You know, this country, sadly, this great United States, sadly, they have left the landmarks which the fathers set. You know, in God we trust. It's even put on the dollar bill, you know, and they put it over certain buildings and stuff like that. You know, in God we trust. But today, oh no, they don't want any part of God. They hate God to his face. You know, and if you say anything about God, you know, let alone Jesus, Jesus is the stumbling block. You know, they go and fall backwards almost. But I tell you what, for those of us who love the truth, we got to seek out the ancient landmarks. Make sure we come back to the apostolic doctrines, the old paths, and the good old way. You know, in the book of Amos, chapter 9 and verse 11, the same scripture is quoted in Acts 15. I'm going to read them both. This was the prophecy that Amos gave, you know, that in the last days it shall come to pass. And, you know, at some point in time, he said that the Lord is going to reestablish even the tabernacles of David, the ruins thereof that are falling, and so forth. Why is God always trying to bring back things that are gone? You know, well, in that day will I raise up the tabernacle of David that is falling, and close up the breaches thereof, and I will raise up his ruins, and I will build it as in the days of old. You know, right? The old stuff. It's good stuff. Hallelujah. You know, so now we're not talking about old dogmas and so forth. There's some old stuff that's not good. Gotta get rid of. But I'm talking about the ancient landmarks which the apostolic fathers set. And we got to stay with those. God said, look, you're going to possess the remnant of Edom. And all the heathen called by my name, saith the Lord, I do these things. Now, in the book of Acts, chapter 15, verses 16 to 18, one of the apostles was quoting this same text that Amos prophesied. Now, God is going to do this work in the last days, restore. That's right. It's all about what I'm talking about today is restoring, you know, checking out the ancient landmarks. After this will I return and build again the tabernacle of David. Well, David, something about him was about praising the Lord. That's right. Which is falling down. And I will build again the ruins thereof, and I will set it up. And the residue of men might seek after the Lord. And all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who does all these things. Known unto God are his works from the beginning of the world. You know, so God wants us to check out the ancient landmarks. Don't take them out. Return to the ancient landmarks. There's some promises that God actually gave to us. You know, and the Spirit of the Lord has come upon some of his people to do this work. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 58 and verse 12, we are told, you know, here is a mandate, so to speak, that it will be upon us at the end of time. They that shall be of thee he said, shall build the old waste places, and thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, restorer of paths to dwell in. Well, we need to restore some paths, the old, good old paths, the good old ways. We need to restore those. And also, you know, we need to restore the ancient landmarks. They've already been removed, even though we were told not to remove them. They've been removed. So now there must be a restoration of the ancient landmarks, you know, and all the good stuff, you know, that the Lord put out through the apostles and the prophets. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, you know, we're told many things, the anointing of God, the things that he would do, clean up a lot of stuff at the end. And also in verse 4, it says, and they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations, and they shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations, all the things that have been destroyed, that was supposed to be the way of holiness and the truth. Well, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up people to restore them. Hallelujah. It's called the ancient landmarks. We're commanded not to remove them. They have been removed. That means they must be restored. One way or another, as by the Spirit of the Lord. Isaiah 62 and verse 10. A commandment goes forth to those upon whom this Spirit will fall. Go through the gates. Prepare ye the way of the people. Cast up and cast up a highway. Well, a highway for them to return back to the good old paths. Gather out the stones and lift up a standard for the people. Well, the standard is the same. We got to raise it up again. Same old standard, you know, that because the Lord, you know, he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. It was an unrighteous act then. It was sinful then. It is still the same today. God didn't change his ways. We are the ones that have changed. Now, in the book of Acts chapter 24, I'm just going through these lessons, these scriptures quickly, then there's a few other things I will say. The book of Acts chapter 24 and verse 14. You know, let's take a look at some of this testimony, you know, that Paul gave. You know, he was a man that had opportunity to give testimony many times, even before law enforcement agencies, before governors of Rome and different things like that, you know. And here's what he said, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 24. You know, here's how he put it. You know, let me read it from a convenient place. Well, they had accused him of many things, of causing insurrection and so forth. And he said, look, you know, I'm now before you. Let me tell you the story. I neither began to cause any trouble or anything like that. I was just in the temple, you know, purifying myself according to the laws of my faith. You know, and I wasn't causing any problems. And they can't prove these things, you know, that they are accused me of. But this I confess unto you, he said, Acts 24 and 14, that after the way that they call heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all things which were written in the law and the prophets. That's right. They may call it heresy, but stay with those things that are written in the law and the prophets. I don't make anything new up. We got to stay with that stuff. Paul said, look, this is what I believe. This is how I stand. This is how I worship God and practice my faith. Even though they call it heresy, It's those things that are written in the law and they're written in the prophets. And this is the way I believe and I have hope toward God. I will be a resurrection of the dead. And in these things I exercise myself, he said. And I have always a conscience, void of offense toward God and before man. And he put it out there. I'm always going back to those things that are written in the law and the prophets. Now, why is this so important? Well, it is important because, you know, the Lord is not a man that he should lie. He doesn't, you know, flip-flop, say one thing one day and say another way. He sent out the apostles. They laid the foundation. We better follow. Hallelujah. Praise God. You know, some of the ways that the apostles, that they understood many things that the Lord said, here's one of the foundations they laid. On the day of Pentecost, you know, when that day was fully come and they were gathered in one accord, you know, in the upper room and so forth, Holy Ghost came, tongues of fire split on each of them. Holy Ghost gave them utterance. They began to prophesy in tongues, do many things, speak the marvelous works of God and so forth as the Holy Ghost gave them utterance. And everybody came, Jews from everywhere. They came and said, well, this man must be drunken because we're hearing them speaking all kinds of things, but we know they're not, you know, they're not from all of our nations and stuff like that. And Peter stood up and said, well, this is not what you suppose, that this man are drunken, because it's early in the day. We're not drunken. This is the Spirit of God, that which was spoken by Joel the prophet. And after he gave a marvelous sermon, he said, well, what shall we do? They always, you know, those, the sermons of the apostles back in those days used to always prick them in their hearts to the point where, and they brought the scriptures. Well, it was necessary for them to show by the scriptures that Jesus was the very root of David, you know, and so forth. What was the lineage of Abraham? And they always used to try to show that, you know, and also show that he was resurrected. So he brought, after bringing all the scriptures, they said, well, what shall we do? He said, well, this is what you will do. Repent. Yeah, so I want to talk about that for just a couple of minutes. This is the way, you know, he said, look, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made this same Jesus, Acts 2 and 36, whom you have crucified. He indicted them. God has made him both Lord and Christ. That's right. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart. And they said, you know, as the Holy Ghost got a hold of them, because you preach a powerful word that's based on the scriptures, it's going to do its thing. You know, if you preach fables, it may not have any effect. If you preach the word of God, it'll prick their hearts. Now, prick their heart, and they said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? And this is how Peter brought it right there. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ. That's right. That was the ancient landmark. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But first, you got to repent. Well, let me talk about that for just a minute. The message of the gospel today has lost, you know, this ancient landmark of ye must repent. The gospel that is preached today is a quick gospel. You know, they just say, well, you know, give your life to Christ and you'll be saved. And I often say, I challenge people, I say, what in the world does that mean? You know, am I going to give my life to Christ? I don't even understand what it means. You know, I mean, I'm talking from the point of view of the unbeliever who has never even known the light. You know, they must repent. You know, repent of their ways means a 180. Now, many people come into, you know, the churches today, but they've never repented. And they come in there and they don't repent. And, you know, and I say, well, come on here, shake my hand, write your name in the book, and all is good. Jump up and down, shout the victory, and praise the Lord, and so forth. You know, but except ye repent, Jesus said in Luke chapter 13, they began to show him, you know, some things. They said, well, you know, look, you know, these things happened and so on. And they began to tell him the stories of, you know, a tower that fell on people and some people that got slain and killed and different things. And Jesus said, well, do you suppose that those things that happened to those people, you know, that those people, I mean, rather to whom those things happened, do you suppose that they were sinners above others? Jesus said, nay, I tell you in Luke chapter 13 and verse 3, but I tell you, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. You know, and he told them another thing. He said, well, that tower of Siloam that fell and killed, you know, some people, 18 people. Do you think those 18 people that were killed by that tower that suddenly fell on them? Well, we've had stories where, you know, tall buildings collapse and kill people. Well, do you suppose that those people that died in such a tragic event, you know, do you think they were seen as above everybody else? Jesus said, no. But except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. So there was always a message of repentance, you know. And when Jesus sent the disciples out, these were the ancient landmarks, you know. When he sent them out, you know, he told them that they must preach that the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent! Even John the Baptist, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You know, and so on. So today, you know, if we don't tell the people to repent, and they think that there's no washing of regeneration. For most people that are coming in today, say, well, you know, come on in here, shake my hand, you know, sign the book, say a few words, and you're saved. You must repent. Let me also say, you know, here some of these things that we say in this, you know, here today that are not even in the scriptures. I mean, this notion of just accept Christ and be saved, it's not in the scriptures. You got to repent. You know, now, yeah, the English word accept is kind of very loose. You know, just accept. You know, accept. No, you've got to do something. You have to repent. You have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not just accept the fact that, you know, well, you know, just accept what I'm telling you and then you'll be fine. Well, the apostles didn't preach the message of accept. They preached the message of repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, that's an act. And then believe. You know, they also said, repent, believe, be baptized, all these things. This is how they preached. Repent, believe, be baptized, and so on. You know, but not just accept. You know, look, it is important for us. I mean, Jesus himself. I mean, he spent time with the woman on the well, John chapter 4, you know, talking to her. I mean, he wasn't in a hurry to get her to be saved. You know, say, well, you know, Jesus could have just come there and say, well, believe on me and be saved. You know, Jesus took his time, you know, to reveal things about her and, you know, deal with her that way, you know, and that convicted her heart. You know, disciples always took their time, you know, and let's take our time, bring the gospel to people, let's tell them to repent, you know, do it the ancient landmarks, the way they did it. Make sure that they repent, because if they don't repent, they say a few words and they go on and we say they are saved and they don't repent. They don't have a clue what they have done. It is important to make sure that, you know, we make them understand what we mean when we're telling them to give their lives to Christ. What does that mean? Take your time. Explain it to them. Hallelujah. Explain the work that Jesus did. Explain why it was necessary for him to do it. I mean, why should a sinner need salvation? You know, when they don't even believe that they need salvation. Well, you got to explain that, you know. And, you know, otherwise, and that's the power of the Holy Spirit, convicts them if you bring the gospel. There are many other ways today that people think that salvation will come. Young people especially, they love music. They love loud music. And they just jump up and down, you know, and so forth. Loud music doesn't save anybody, folks. Or any kind of music for that matter. The word of God So I love music. You know it. I play music on this platform every day. You know, but that doesn't save anybody. You know, the word of God is what is going to save people. And we must preach the undiluted word of God. You got to preach it. You got to bring it that way. You know, and without fear and without favor. You know, to, in the apostolic way, they didn't care whether they threw them into prison. They said, look, you know, we tell you, don't say anymore anything in this name. And they said, well, judge ye among yourselves. You know, what we should do. Should we obey you or should we obey God? Whatever you think. But we will obey God. You know, they were ready. Whatever it took, they're going to obey God. You know, we are going to, something is coming soon, ladies and gentlemen. It's right around the corner. You will have to contend with political and governmental forces again. You know, so it's coming. You know, a lot of censorship, a lot of stuff coming. You're going to have to deal with that. You know, so we need to strengthen our minds to understand the way that they did it. These were things that they had to go through. The apostles did. We're going to have to go through some of the same stuff. Now, let me read to you a couple of stories here. Interesting stories. You know, and even though it doesn't look like it's a doctrine, it's a historical reference, there is still something to learn. Now, this Bible, there are many parts of this Bible, but it's two broad categories in this Bible. There is historical references or history that was recorded. And there's lesson to be learned in it. Bible say every word of God is pure. And the things that were written before are written for examples that we should learn from them. But sometimes they're just history reported. Not necessarily doctrine, but history. And we can find the word of God there because when God spoke to the people, even in the history, then we learn from it. Then there's also doctrine. The doctrine of Christ, for instance, you know, that was preached, you know, throughout the Gospels. And they bring in the Old Testament to prove that Christ, that Jesus of Nazareth was indeed the very Christ. And so doctrine is there, story is there. Even in the history, there's a lot of lesson to learn. Now, here's a historical lesson, you know, and it's a really good one. And, you know, goes right with this lesson of going back to the ancient landmarks. And why did he do it? Well, let's find out. This is the story of Isaac in Genesis chapter 26. Genesis chapter 26. And I don't know if you know this story or not, but I'm going to read it to you today. In Genesis, there's a lot of stories in this Bible. Carry a lot of messages. A lot of messages. And they are so, so powerful. And even though it's just written as though they were stories, powerful revelations. And powerful, powerful messages. In the book of Genesis chapter 26, I'm going to read just two verses from verse 17 and 18. This was Isaac. You know, Isaac departed thence. You know, well, okay. Before that, you know, let me read from, you know, so, well, okay. In this story, I'm looking for a place where I might start. In this story, Isaac is reminded about the Lord, I mean, reminded from the Lord what he told to his father, Abraham, you know, and so this is the story of Isaac now. Not, you know, Abraham, but Isaac. Isaac was that promised son for Abraham. So Isaac went down to Amalek, king of Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said unto him, I'm just reading from the beginning of the chapter now. Go not down into Egypt, but dwell in the land that shall tell you of. Well, you know, God will always give instructions. Either I will tell you to come out of one place and go to another, or not go to one place and go to another. You know, sojourn in this land, he told him, and I will be with you and I will bless you. You know, for unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these nations, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. So God gave it to Abraham. He's going to tell it also to Isaac. Let me interject here and say, there are indeed, you know, generational blessings. People always talk only of generational curses. Well, I don't have any generational curse because Christ was made, according to Galatians 3 and 13, God took away the curse because he was nailed on the tree, and curse is every man that hangeth upon the tree. Christ was made a curse for us, took that away. So rather than always talking about generation curses and stuff like that, which people like to talk about all the time, I like to talk about generational blessings. I believe that, you know, blessed is the generation of the righteous, according to the scriptures. You know, so Abraham was blessed, and God, because of Abraham, blessed Isaac. And Isaac was blessed, and God, because of Isaac, blessed Jacob, and so on and so forth. Now, God said to Isaac here, I'm going to give you the same thing that I gave to your father, Abraham. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. The same thing God already told Abraham. And unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And in thy seed shall all nations be blessed. Well, God told that to Abraham as well. I was referring to Isaac, actually. But even really to Christ. Because we can learn that in the book of Galatians chapter 4. Now, because that Abraham, your father, obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments and my statutes and my laws, you know, that's why I gave, you know, all those things. Because he did. So, Isaac dwelt in Gerar. And the men of the place asked him about his wife. He said, my sister. Well, Abraham did something like that one time. You know, and so on. You know, so, you know, so, well, you know. And he was afraid that he might kill her. I mean, kill him. So Abimelech, the king of that place, you know, said, you know, figure out, why you done this? You know, one of your people might have, you know, lying with your wife and so forth. Anyway, similar story. But here's the one I want to go to. Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold. And the Lord blessed him greatly. You know, so, you know, and Isaac waxed great, went forward, grew until he became very, very great. He had possessions of flocks, possessions of herds, great store of servants. Philistines envied him. Now, when the Lord began to bless you, people are going to envy you. That's right. Blessed him. He started being great. He started having a lot of things. They began to envy him and so forth. Now, all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham, the Philistines, because they envied him, they went and stopped all those wells. You know, began to fill them with dirt. You know, these people were just angry because of all the blessings that came upon Isaac. And they did all kinds of things. Abimelech said, look, get away from us. I mean, you're mightier than us. I was just envious of him. So Isaac, listen to this. Isaac departed thence, and he pitched his tent in the valley of Gerar, and he dwelt there. Now, this is Isaac going back to the ancient landmarks. Listen to this now. And Isaac digged again the wells of water, which they had digged in the days of Abraham, his father. That's right. He remembered ancient landmarks. Those wells were landmarks. For the Philistines had stopped them after the death of Abraham. They put dirt and earth in those wells. So Isaac went back, dug up those wells again. And not only that, he named those wells again by the same names that his father had called them. Why was that so important? Now, people carried, you know, there are some people that carry tradition of following the instructions or following the things of their father, especially when those things are good. And God honored those things. And Isaac, he knew that Abraham was a man of God. This was Isaac one time that Abraham, you know, was about to obey the voice of God to kill him. He knew the faith of his father. And he said, look, the Lord used these wells to bless my father. I'm going to dig those wells back up again. Those are ancient landmarks. And he did, and not only when he said, look, I will name them the same names that my father gave, you know, and so forth. And the blessing of Abraham passed on him. Honored his father like that. And God blessed him tremendously. Well, let's see some other people that honored their fathers. Or any young folks listening in here, or anyone that still has parents, you better listen to this. In the book of Jeremiah, chapter 35, there is another interesting, intriguing story here. Like I said, many historical stories, but there are tremendous lessons of faith and lessons of walking with God to learn from them. Now, this story here in the book of Jeremiah chapter 35, God actually put, you know, the children of the Rechabites to test, is what we're told here. So God said to Jeremiah in the book of Jeremiah chapter 35 and verse 1, in the days of Joachim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, the word of the Lord came to Jeremiah and told him, go into the house of the Rechabites and speak unto them and bring them to the house of the Lord into one of the chambers and give them wine to drink. Now, pay attention now. Don't jump ahead of the story. If you don't know the story, just pay attention. Then Jeremiah, he took Jazaniah, the son of Jeremiah, not his own son, but son of Heba-Zeniah and his brethren, they were all sons in the house of the Rechabites. And he brought them into the house of the Lord, the chamber of the sons of Hanan and of Igdaliah, the man of God, you know, by the chambers of the princes, and so on. And, you know, he set them down. He said, and I sat before the sons of the house of the Rechabites, just like Paul, I mean, just like God told him, pots full of wine and cups. And I said, drink ye wine. I mean, he served them. Now, drink ye wine. Now, they said, this was the answer they gave to Jeremiah, the prophet who had the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord came to him. Tell it to set wine before these people. Remember, there was a man in 1 Kings chapter 13. You know, he did the will of God and he would not go backwards. Eat in any place, do anything, until an older prophet came unto him and lied unto him and deceived him. The same old prophet eventually brought judgment to him. Now, but these people, they are going to stay right with, they're not going to, they don't care whether it's Jeremiah. They don't care whether they're in the house of God. You know, Jeremiah said, hey, Lord told me to give you wine. And the Lord did too. But it was a test. You know, so he set wine before them, said, drink. And they said, we will drink no wine. For Jonadab, the son of Rechab, our father, has commanded us, saying, ye shall drink no wine. And they stood right there with the commandment of their father. I don't care whether a prophet, I don't care whether the house of the Lord, I don't care whether anything. Our father commanded us, drink no wine. Don't do this. Don't even settle down, you know, live in tents, and whatever reason their father commanded them to do that. They were going to stay with that. They didn't care if an angel from heaven came and, you know, told them anything. They're going to stick right with the ancient landmarks. You know, father said, you will not drink wine. Don't do it now. Don't be like the rest of the people. Don't do it. And don't do all these things they're doing. You will be like this. Gave them instructions. And he said, look, you know, and then when they didn't do it, read the rest of the story. And the Lord finally said, wow. The Lord said to Jeremiah, he said, wow. Do you see this? See what these people have done? And Lord wanted to bring out a story there. So he told the children of Israel, look at these children of Rechabites, how they obey the voice of their father. But what about me? You guys, I rise up early, send you prophets. I rise up early, send you this. But you don't obey my voice. But look at how these people obey the voice of their father. So ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren, ancient landmarks are important. God honors it. And God was honoring these Rechabites because they obeyed the voice of their father. Even though God put a test before them, they passed the test. They said, no. You know, our father has told us not to do this, and we're not going to do it. You know, so, ladies and gentlemen, you know, what are your spiritual fathers? The real ones, not the fake ones that just like to sit in Moses' seat. But the real ones, what did they tell you? Well, find them the apostolic doctrine. You know, follow the ways of the apostles. And let's go back to the word of God. If you are unsure, always go back to the scriptures. Isaiah chapter 8 and verse 20. To the law, back to the law and to the testimony. Anything else that comes out and it's not, you know, according to that word, it's because there's no light in it. Don't even deal with it. Don't even mess with it. Now, these stories are strange, but they are in the Bible. And it tells us, it gives us an indication that God, you know, honors those things. You know, now the word of God says, honor your father and your mother, that it may be well with you. Well, you know, one honor is, you know, for you to, especially when your father and mother, and they are men and women of God, and they tell you stuff, you better do it, that it will be well with you. God honors those things. You know, don't remove the ancient landmarks. But we have one father, and his name is God Almighty. He's our Father, he's our God, and we love him because he has given us instructions as well. Well, the word of God, every word of God is also an ancient landmark. Everything that God already spoke is just like an ancient landmark. Don't remove it. Don't say it doesn't matter. And don't shrug it off. And people shrug off many things today. Look at the way they did in the Acts of the Apostles, how they broke bread. People shrug it off today that it doesn't matter. We don't need to break bread. We can just use crackers or this and that. You know, it's called breaking of bread for a reason. You break the bread, you know, and so forth. And you know, what do people do today? Oh, you know, how do people pray today? Is this the way that Jesus told us to pray? Or even the apostles prayed. Today, you know, I've noticed that, you know, when people want to dedicate baby dedication or marriage or something, they come out and they say, in the name of the God the Father, and in the name of God the Son, in the name of God the Holy Spirit. You heard me on this platform. You know, those things are unscriptural. There's only one God and Father of us all. And then our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no three gods. You know, doctrine of three gods is doctrine of devils. You may not know it, but there's no three gods. There's only one God. Hear, O Israel. Deuteronomy 6 and 4. The Lord thy God is one Lord. And in over 24 places in the book of Isaiah, the Lord will speak to these people and say, you know, thus saith the Lord, the Holy One of Israel. Always, never the Holy Three. You know, now, those things are part of the apostles' doctrines. You know, everywhere they went, they baptized them in the name of Jesus Christ. Well, yes, God, Jesus did say, Matthew wrote it so, that go and baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all those things. Well, that was what he said. And that's what Peter said. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the same name as the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. That's the truth. Because Isaiah 9 and 6 will tell you, unto us, a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder. And what are all the references that we make of him? Well, his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. That's the Holy Spirit. The Mighty God. That's Jehovah. The Everlasting Father. Well, what else can you say? The Prince of Peace. It's all wrapped up in that one name. But never in the scriptures will you find the God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. That those three phrases in one sentence, you will never find it in the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. People brought those in, but those things are myths. They are mistruths. Let's go back to the ancient landmarks. You know, Paul said it right. He said, look, there be many gods and many lords. And we understand that, you know, that's no problem. You know, but unto us, my goodness, 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 5. There be many that are called gods, small g, whether in heaven or on earth or something, God of sun, God of, people even worship God of sex, God of this, God of that. You know, Diana was a goddess of sex back in the day. And, you know, but unto us, there is but one God. Hallelujah. The Father, of whom are all things, and there's one Lord, Jesus Christ. That's it. Can't slice God up into three pieces, you know, and try to feed that to the people of God. Well, first, you can't do that to the Jews. Jews will never take it. You know, they understand that there is but one God. Hear, O Israel, Lord thy God is one God. Now, those are ancient landmarks. Let's go back to it. Now, we've taught that in this room many times, so people should understand that now. Are we then denying the Father or the Son? Oh, absolutely not. You know, how can we deny the Father and the Son? You know, those are all pieces, but it's the same self-saved Spirit. For in him dwelleth the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians 2, you know, verse 9. That's Christ. The fullness of the Godhead dwells in him bodily. Can't find it any other place. You know, and in fact, Philip and the rest of the apostles, you know, he said, look, show us the Father. I mean, you're always telling us about the Father. You're always trying to make us to pray to the Father and do all of these things. Yeah, we understand. But if you showed us the Father, that would be sufficient for us. And Jesus said, wow. Philip, can read all of that in John 14, verses 8 to about 10. Philip, have I been with you all this time and yet you do not know me? Well, same thing today. So a lot of people grew up in church, being around the word, being around the ministry and so forth. And yet you have not known me. Why then are you confused and asking me to show you the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and the Father is inside of me? And he said, no, just show us the Father already. I mean, this is like, I don't understand this one. Well, Jesus said, well, it may be hard for you to believe now. You'll understand later. But if you don't believe, you believe for the very work's sake. And Jesus began to tell them. Well, many of them did not understand it. But only Philip was bold enough to ask the question. Until today, many people don't understand it. But Jesus, he told the Jews many times, I am my Father, I won. John 10 and 30. And when he said that in the John chapter 10 and verse 30, they took up stones to kill him. Well, but that's the truth. Jesus told it the way it was. Now, those are ancient landmarks which we must not remove. The proper way to pray is to pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus said it himself, you know, ask in my name. That's right. Now, you can pray to the Father in the name of Jesus Christ. Or you can ask in his name directly and speak in the name of Jesus Christ. But there's no place in the Bible where we are told to pray in the name of God, the Father, or in the name of God, the Son, or God, the Holy Spirit. No such thing. There's only one God. When you say it like that, it sounds as if there's three different gods. You say God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And that's like three gods. But there's only one God. And he's the Father of us all. Hallelujah. And Jesus Christ is his Son. That's why it's a mystery. Don't try to unravel it with your natural knowledge. You cannot by natural searching find out God. It's a mystery. Great is the mystery of godliness. The apostles pulled that out. That's part of the ancient landmarks. 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. It's a mystery. It's a mystery how that Isaiah would say that the same baby that we know is a child was also the everlasting Father. That's a mystery. But don't try to unravel it any other way. That's the way it is. But to know it and to understand this ancient landmark, it's eternal life. 1 John chapter 5. And verse 20 says, and we know that the Son of God has come, you know, and has given us an understanding that we may know him that is true. And we are in him that is true, even in his Son, Jesus Christ. Now, this is the true God. And to know him is eternal life. Ladies and gentlemen, there are many more ancient landmarks you can find throughout these scriptures. And any truth that is in these scriptures You can call it an ancient landmark. And check where you stand today against the ancient landmarks. And see whether you are contending for the faith or we have drifted away. Now, God has given us commandment to contend earnestly. Not just contend, but even earnestly. Jude chapter verse 3. For the faith and the ancient landmarks which were once put in place. So, ladies and gentlemen, that's it. And we trust that the Lord will reveal even these things unto you. And if anyone be otherwise minded, well, God will reveal even that to you as well. I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to understand that God will not change his posture or his word. What he said then is what he says today. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews 13 and verse 8. So, in summary, what we have said today is this. We are commanded not to remove the ancient landmarks. But what if the ancient landmarks have been removed? Because unfortunately, they have been removed. Well, that means we must be the restorer of the breach, the restorer of the good old paths to dwell in. You know, we must, they said, look, you will be called the restorer of the breach, restorer of paths. And we got to bring back the good old ways, stand in the ways and the good old paths. Hallelujah. Praise God. Now, God is called the Ancient of Days. That's the reason why. He didn't just set up shop. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, he says, his goings forth are being from of old. Yeah. And that's the way he's been. And it's always just the same. The Almighty who was, who is, and who is to come. Same. Never changing. Now, the devil would like to twist all of that up. He slides God up, take things out of God. Out of the word of God. Try to feed him to us. But go back always to the ancient landmarks. And even though it might be called heresy, Paul said, look, that's the way I believe. I believe all those things that are written in the law and the prophets. Hallelujah. And Jesus made reference to the law and the prophets all the time. So the law and the prophets were unto John. You know, but now from the days of John until now, the kingdom of God is now preached. And everyone is pressing. You got to press into it. You got to contend for the truth. And don't let anyone take your crown. Revelation 3 and 11. Don't let any man or any doctrine or any dogma or any creed or any organization take your crown. Stay with the word of God. And that's our lesson today. I brought it out as ancient landmarks, but it's every word of God. The way it was done in the apostles' time, the way it was done throughout the Bible, the way it is now, the way they preached salvation, the way we do things, the way they baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. And all of that, stay with the word. Hallelujah. And when you stay with the word, that's a blessing. You know, and God called it out. And you may be tested with an opportunity to do the wrong thing. You know, but what are you going to do? God even told Jeremiah, set wine before these people. God didn't want them to drink the wine. It was just a test. You know, will you do it? You know, if your group is telling you to, you know, do something that's contrary to scriptures, will you do it just because your group is telling you to do it? You know, Jeremiah told them to do it, even brought them into the inner court in the house of the Lord, but they didn't do it. Said, no, we're not going to do it. You know, go back to the original pattern. And it's amazing how many people fall quickly away to what their group is doing. And they will not go back to the ancient landmarks. Now, you may not have a voice against the group, but you may. You know, but every one of us is accountable for himself. You will give account for yourself. If your leaders be blind, you don't have to be blind. Now, if both of you are blind, you will both fall into the ditch. Leader that is blind will fall into the ditch. There's no question about that. Because they don't see where they're going. But will you fall into the ditch with them? Or will you have your eyes wide open? Don't fall into the ditch with anybody that's blind. Go back. Let's go back to the word. Always back to the ancient landmarks, which thy fathers have set. And don't remove them. Because the Lord wants us to go back to the good old ways. And the good old paths. Now I'm going to pray over the room. And consider these stories that we told today. How Isaac went back and dug those wells. You know, and how he named them the same things. And how those sons of the Rechabites would not deviate. They stood right there with it. Didn't matter who brought it to them and tried to trick them up. Said, no, we're not going to do it. That's not what we learned. You know, and Paul said, look, if someone come and preach to you another gospel different than what you learned, even if he be an angel, don't do it now. You know, don't do it. It could be your senior prophet, the senior apostle or archbishop or whatever. And they have their doctrines and their creed of what you must or should do. Don't do it now. Stay with the ancient landmarks. Even though it may look like heresy, stay with it. After the way that is they refer to as heresy, so worship I the God of my fathers, believing all those things that are written in the law and the prophets, and adhering to all of the ancient landmarks until this day. That's what Paul said. Father, I thank you for everyone in the room today. Thank you for the fellowship hour and the word of God. We believe that if the true word of God is restored, there will be growth. The word of God must grow and multiply. Thank you, Father. Encourage our hearts to contend for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints. And may the Lord bless everyone that's a listener in the room now or later. Bless you with the faith to stand by the true word of God. Always checking it out, whether those things be so. Like the Bereans, we are told, they were good, they listened to the word of God, and then they went and checked it out, whether those things were so. Praise God. God bless every one of you today, and I pray that, you know, the Lord will continue to enrich His word in you. You can read the story of the Bereans in the book of Acts chapter 17. We're told that they were noble, you know. They were better than even some others. But because what did they do? Well, they were better than those in Thessalonica, we're told. But they received the message with great joy. Acts 17 and 11. And then they went and checked whether those things were true. They went back, you know, to the law and the prophets. They went back to the ancient landmarks and see whether the things that Paul was saying were true. The Lord bless everyone in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.